Luke chapter 12, 35 through 48. And again, last week we took verses 35 through 40, and those verses are very important in order to understand verses 41 to 48 that many people have taken out of context and even present the fact that verses 41 to 48 prove, at least as their proof text, that a Christian can lose their salvation. So we need to pay attention to the text. I'm going to start reading at verse 35 down through 48. He says, "Let your waists be girded." That's the first command. "Secondly, and let your lamps be burning." Thirdly, "And you be like to men waiting for their Lord." So the first theme is waiting. To be, have your lamps burning, and have your waists girded, and be like people who are waiting for their Lord. That when he should return from the wedding feast, in order that when he comes and when he should knock, they should open immediately to him. "Blessed are those slaves who, when their Lord should come, should find them watching." So first we had waiting. Be like those who are waiting for their Lord. Now he says, be like those slaves who are watching for their Lord. "For truly I say to you that he shall gird himself and shall make them recline. And when he comes alongside of them, he will serve them." So that when the Master comes, of course the Lord is Jesus, and when he comes, he will be serving us at the banqueting feast. So he says, be watching and be waiting for when he comes. "And if he should come in the second watch," we saw last week the second watch is from 9 to midnight. "If he should come in the second watch, and if he should come in the third watch," that would be from midnight to 3, "and should find them so," that is, find them watching and waiting, "blessed are those slaves. And know this, that if the housemaster had known at what hour the thief is coming, he would have watched and he would not have allowed his house to be dug through." The King James says breaking in. But it's literally digging through. They would dig through the house in order to break in. "Therefore, you yourselves become ready, because in which hour you do not think the Son of Man is coming." Now, last week we stopped there and I read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. That's very important for the Christian. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Because in that text, Paul said that you are the children of light and you are not children of darkness. Therefore, that day will not overtake you as a thief in the night. This text is not talking about Christians. This is a salvation message here. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that once you receive Jesus Christ, you are ready. You are prepared. You are a child of the day. You are not a child of the night. Only those people who are unsaved will be overcome by the coming of Christ, not God's people. It has nothing to do with mental alertness nor a motivational tool to do good works. Once you have the Spirit of Christ in your heart, you are ready and you are prepared. That's why we constantly encourage ourselves, just like Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another with these words. Be continually looking for your Lord. We should not be sleeping. We should not be slumbering. Our next great hope is the fact that Christ is coming back for us, and he will be here at any moment. So therefore, we should live as though we are prepared and ready to go. Taking that now into verses 41 to 48, reading, "And Peter said, Now Peter said to him, Lord, are you saying this parable to us or also to everyone? And the Lord said, Then who is the faithful and wise steward?" The word wise is the term phronimos that means sense, sensible. Who is the faithful and sensible servant who the Lord shall appoint or establish over his household servants, and in order to give to them the portion of grain in season. Blessed is that slave who, when his Lord should come, shall find him so doing, that is, faithfully feeding the household servants. And truly I say to you, that he shall appoint him over all of his possessions. And if that slave should say in his heart, this is the same slave now, my Lord is delaying to come, and should begin to beat the male servants and the female servants, and both to eat and to drink and to become drunk, the Lord of that slave shall come in a day which he is not expecting. According to 1 Thessalonians 5, who would that be? Who are the people who will be living this lifestyle, and the Lord will come in a day when they're not expecting? It's not God's people. That's the key to this. Verse 46 is the key. The Lord of that slave will come in a day in which he is not expecting, and in an hour which he does not know. And he shall cut him in two. The Lord is using examples of the cultural practices of his day that everybody would be familiar with. If you had a slave that ran away, if you had a slave that was disobedient, the master of that slave could take him literally with a wooden saw and cut him in two. And will appoint his part or portion with the unbelievers. And there's the little phrase that people start teaching, that this has to do with Christians losing their salvation. It does not. Verse 47, and that slave who is knowing the will of his Lord and has not prepared, and having not done toward or according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And that slave, not having known, but having done things worthy of stripes or lashes, shall be beaten with few. And to every one to whom much was given, much shall be required from him. And to whom much is being entrusted, they shall require him the more. In context with verses 35 through 40, we're talking about the cultural practices of masters and slaves. The people who teach that Jesus is talking here about Christians, and there are no Christians yet when Jesus is teaching this. From verses 35 through 40, Jesus is talking about being ready for the Lord coming. You've either received him and you are ready, or you have not received him and you are not ready. And just to show you how, when we talk about a slave or a servant, the word doulos, which is the word for slave in this text, is also the word used in the Old Testament for Israel. Israel was his servant. But were they saved, you see? They still had to respond to Messiah coming. And even to this day, though the Jewish people be God's chosen people, they still have the responsibility of responding to Christ and being saved. They cannot get to heaven and they cannot be saved just because they're Jewish or Hebrew people. They must receive Christ. That's true for Jew and Gentile. A person must be born of the Spirit of God. That person must receive Jesus Christ to be saved. Jesus is ministering here about salvation. Verses 41 through 46 talks about one slave that can go in either to the left or to the right. In verses 42 through 44, he's been put in charge of feeding the household servants their portion of food. You cannot help but see the imagery here, that the fact that the Jewish leaders were put in charge of feeding God's people, which they didn't do. But he leaves this slave in charge of feeding the household servants. So when his Lord comes and finds him doing this, the Lord is going to appoint him over all of his possessions, because he was faithful to do what he told him to do while he was gone. But he says, when you get to verses 45 and 46, If that same servant should make a different decision, if that same servant should say in his heart, my Lord is delaying his coming, and should begin to beat the servants that he has been put in charge of, and he should both begin to eat and to drink and to become drunk. Then verse 46 says, the Lord of that slave will come at a day and an hour which he is not expecting. And he will cut that slave in two, and he will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. That's because he's an unbeliever. So even the servant, the slave, that does not mean that in the story, because he's called a slave, that he belongs to Jesus Christ. He is a slave that has been put in charge by his master with responsibility that when his master returns, should find him so doing. If he should decide not to do it and not to take heed to being ready for the master's coming, then he will be assigned his portion or his part with the unbelievers. So this first slave is about salvation. You're either going to receive Christ and be ready, or reject the warnings. The Lord said, be waiting, be watching. Now in verses 41 to 48, he's given the warning. If you don't, if you're not ready for the coming of the Son of Man, you'll be like the slave that is cut in two and assigned his part or portion with the unbelievers. And that's what happens with unbelievers. They're cut off. And they're assigned their portion with the unbelievers. Now, there's in verses 47 and 48, we have the believer, the one who has responded to the things of Christ, and two different things can happen. First of all, in verse 47, it talks about the slave who had known and had not prepared and had not done according to his will. So he knew. And he knew his Lord was coming, and so he received that. But he did not prepare, and he was not doing his will. It says that he will be beaten with many stripes. Doesn't say anything about cutting him off. Doesn't say anything about casting his portion with the unbelievers. So here we have responsibility. The first one in verses 41 to 46, that slave was not waiting and watching. He did not know, wasn't even involved, wasn't even receptive to his Lord, to his master. In verse 47, we have a person who knew. He knew his Lord, he knew his master, but he had not prepared, and he had not done anything toward the will of his master. He will be beaten with many stripes. Secondly, in verse 48, we have the other part of the saved person, the person who was not knowing and yet had done things worthy of stripes, but he was ignorant and did not know. He will be beaten with few stripes. Now here's the key to this whole section at the end of verse 48. But to whom much is given, much will be required from them. And to whom much is entrusted, it will be required of him even the more. It goes all the way from ignorance of not knowing salvation all the way through knowing Christ. The first area of responsibility is that everybody is responsible for their response to Jesus Christ. Secondly, once a person has responded to Jesus Christ, we have to know the message, and I'm going to read you a piece of scripture here in a moment to prove it to you. That the Bible teaches, and it's in our tape series, if you ever want that one or haven't listened to it, in our tape series that's entitled, We Will All Be Different in Heaven. Because the Bible teaches, though churches don't present it this way, the Bible teaches that we are all going to be different in heaven. We're all going to be saved. Those who have received Christ are going to be saved. But there will be those who will pass through the fire, that's not hell, but will pass through the fire, and much of their life will be burned because it wasn't based on the things of Christ, even though they will be saved. And they will receive a reward, but the reward will be according to the work of the Spirit of God in everybody's heart. That's why Satan, and we spent a lot of time before this study talking about what's going on in the church today. That's why Satan is attacking the church today, to get them distracted. Because I, as a believer, as a child of God, I'm going to enter into heaven with that transformation and that change and that growth that has taken place in my relationship with Christ. Everything else is going to burn. And if Satan can distract the church away from the ministry of God's Word, changing and transforming people's lives, guess who gets cheated? You enter into heaven and you go, hey, I was busy in my church and I did all the programs and I went and saw the film and I did the book and I did the whole thing and I was a good church worker and I, you know, did my duty. But you're not changed. You're not transformed as a person. You're not metamorphosized from the inside. You have no growth. You have no spiritual growth. You're just a good church worker and performing your duty as a Christian and doing the work. All that's going to burn. The only thing you enter in with is those things that Christ has worked out in your life. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't grow by works. You grow by the grace of God ministering the knowledge of Christ to your heart, to your mind, to the point that you're transformed. So Satan says, okay, all you people are saved, but I'm going to get you distracted with all these horizontal marketing tools so that we get away from the Word and we become desensitized to the Word of God and we don't hunger for the Word anymore. We're fed so much in our flesh that we go to church looking for the flesh to be fed. And if somebody gets up, and I told you a couple of weeks ago that there's a large church here in town, that there's a church split. Because the minister of music wanted to hold more music programs. And the pastor said, no, we're going to stick with the Word of God. So the music minister quit and took half the church with him. Because that's what they want. They want music programs. The pastor spends too much time in the Word. And bless his heart that he stuck with it and said, we're going to stay with the Word. We do music. But they wanted to do more. They couldn't get people to teach Sunday school because people were practicing for the music programs. And that's all people were interested in. They weren't interested in the Word. So we're growing away from the Word. And it's not just leadership that's doing it. It's people who are following that leading. The people are becoming insensitive to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Not even hungry for it anymore. Don't go to church expecting it. We expect to be entertained and we expect the program. But that's why Satan's doing it. It's because God's chosen way is for people to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's how we're changed. That's how we're transformed. It's not by works. You can work your way to death. You can spend all day at the church. I get no extra brownie points because I'm at the church 24 hours a day, you know? I'm a church worker 24 hours a day, right? Doesn't mean anything. It's the change that God makes in my life, because when He makes a change in my life, it's permanent. That's what I enter into heaven with. Turn with me in closing, please, to 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. At verse 10, I'm going to show you that the Bible teaches this, that we will all be different in heaven, that we as Christians will suffer loss. Everything that is done of the flesh will burn, even our Christian works and church works. If it's of the flesh, it's going to burn. Yes?
Is that, when you say suffer loss, is that what it means by being beaten with many stripes?
Right. That is the cultural story that everybody was familiar with that shows that one slave is beaten with few and the other slave is beaten with many, based on the knowledge, based on the responsibility. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 at verse 10, according to the grace of God which has been given to me as a wise architect. Those of you following the Greek text, architekton, architect. As a wise architect, I have laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. Let each one notice how he is building. For no one is able to lay another foundation alongside of, notice the literal translation, alongside of the one which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. There is no other foundation. The problem with believers is not the foundation, because Christ is our foundation. The problem is what we build upon the foundation. He says, now if anyone is building upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay or grass, and straw, the work of each one will become manifest or apparent. For the day shall make it clear, because it shall be revealed in fire. Now we will all pass through fire. This is not hell. This is called the Bema Seat. Paul uses the judges stand at the Colosseum Games as what Christians will stand in front of. Everybody will give an account of the race that they ran, and everybody will be rewarded according to the race that they ran. Now, we're all going to be saved, but there are different rewards based on how we ran the race. And so, in the Bema Seat, and whenever I read this text, and I always say this to you when I read it, I always picture a car wash. Except instead of water, it's fire. And I, as a believer, Peter's standing, that he's vacuuming. Peter's vacuuming my car out before I go in. But he hooks me up, and I'm pulled through this spray of fire, see. And when I come out the other end, whatever has been burned, it's gone. Whatever is left is what I enter into heaven with. That's what this text is saying. The fire will reveal what sort of work it is. And it says here, and the fire shall test the work of each one as to what sort it is. If anyone's work remains, which he has built, he shall receive a reward. You see, if you pass through the fire, and there's gold, silver, precious stones that you have built upon this foundation, it will make it through the fire. But if it's grass, hay, and stubble, it's going to burn. Now, if anyone's work will be consumed by the fire, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved so as through fire. This is Christians. Our salvation, our foundation will be there, but you will suffer loss for anything that's done in the flesh and was not the work of the Holy Spirit changing and transforming a person's life. And most Christians don't know this. That we will suffer loss, but we're still going to be saved. And it is interesting, we're going to be saved such as through fire, but suffer loss. And so is, and do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? And if anyone should corrupt the temple of God, God shall corrupt that one, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And so, that's the message to believers. The other parallel text to this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Where Peter, before he died, he warned the church about false teaching in the church. And he says, in summary form, he says, you ought to be growing in Christ. There are different stages of development that he lists for us. But in verse 11 of 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, for so or in this way shall be your entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Even way back in Peter's day, he says there's false teaching in the church. People are using their Bibles, but they're using it in the wrong way. And they're leading you in the wrong direction. They're not feeding you. You are not growing. But you need to be aware of this, because in this way will be your entrance when you enter into heaven. And we have to understand that was the message of the early church. They knew it was God's chosen way for His Spirit to minister to His people through the Scriptures. and that through the hearing of the Scriptures, God would take that truth and change and transform people's lives. That's His ordained way. That's why Satan attacks the church. Every believer is going to pass through the fire. Not hell, but the fire that's going to burn everything that is not developed by Jesus Christ. And when we come out the other side of the fire, whatever's left, that's what we enter into heaven with. And I always imagine these pictures of these devastating fires that sweep through these communities, and they bring the TV cameras in and they show the cement slab and the chimney. You ever seen those? Everything else is burned. Whatever could withstand the fire is still there. Whatever couldn't is gone. That's what this is telling us. Some believers are going to be in heaven because they're saved by Christ. They have the foundation. And the Lord, over a period of years, they built a chimney. The Lord built a chimney on that foundation, but everything else was just fluff. Everything else was just human, flesh. It was not the Spirit of God at all. And even though we'll be in heaven and be saved, we'll all be different. That's why going to Bible study or going to church, it's not just duty. You don't go because it's duty. You go because by exposing yourself to the truth of God's Word, God's Spirit ministers His truth to us, and we become changed and transformed. The more you're exposed to that ministry, the more you're changed. And the more developed you're going to be throughout eternity. I want to be able to function in heaven. Some people say, well, I'd be happy just to be a shoeshine boy. I'd be happy just to be there. Well, that's fine. And you will be. But other people will be more developed, not in knowledge, but in the transformation process, where they have been changed and transformed, and they will be able to function better. There will be something different for them in heaven. You had a question?
Well,
or a statement?
Back to this, you know, this presentation in 12 is
yes, Luke 12.
Here, you know, emphasizing, and at this point, is he indicating the proper type of fear? Like, you know, prior to that, it's like, don't be afraid of this and this, but now he's saying,
okay, good point. Good point, but then in the beginning, you remember, he spoke to his disciples first. So the fear part was for his disciples. Here in verse 41 of chapter 12 of Luke, you remember Peter was saying, Lord, are you saying this to us, or is this to everyone? And so the Lord, in verse 41, the Lord is showing, he answers the question by saying, in fact, if I were taking notes, in verses 41 to 48, I put on there, if the shoe fits. That's basically what the Lord is saying. Peter says, are you speaking this to us, or just to us as disciples, or to everyone? He's presenting that, you know, for the disciples it would be, if you know and don't do, you're going to be responsible. If you don't know and still don't do, you're still going to be to suffer loss, but it won't be as harsh. But then the main responsibility is to be ready, is to receive Christ and have your waists girded and have your lamps burning, and be like people who are waiting for their Lord. Now, how we wait, we who are saved, that's what's dealt with in verses 47 to 48. We are waiting for the Lord, but some more faithful than others. But we're all going. So the key thing here is, first of all, you can't be waiting for the Lord and be judged for your faithfulness until you know the Lord, and He's the Lord that you're waiting for. So that's step number one. And if you're not, if you reject that, then you will be dealt your portion with the unbelievers. But if you are saved and He is your Lord, then in verses 47 and 48, it's to what degree your faithfulness has been in response to looking for His coming. When we had Bible studies down in Los Angeles, we had a fellow who was coming out quite consistently. Then all of a sudden he just disappeared, just stopped coming to the studies. Well, it just so happened that we had the same barber. And one day I ran into him. He was coming out of the barber shop as I was coming in, and his name was Mike. Nothing personal. Why do I always have problems with people named Mike? I don't know. It's just my. So he was coming out. He was coming out as I was going in. I said, "Hey, Mike, I haven't seen you around a while. Are you not coming back to the studies?" And he goes, He says, well, I joined a bowling league and just got caught up in all that. And he says, but I'm still with the Lord. I want to let you know that I'm more excited about the Lord today than I ever have. And I must have been the Lord because I didn't know what to say. You know, and usually I have something to say. And so I said, oh, I says, well, how's that? He goes, well, I've been studying a lot about prophecy, and we're in the last days, and Jesus is going to come at any moment. And then I says, so let me get this straight. Jesus is coming back at any moment, so you've left the Word of God to join a bowling league. What is wrong with this picture? I says, can't you see that you've substituted emotional excitement for responsibility and priority? If you know Jesus is coming back at any moment, Jesus said, be ready, be watching, be waiting. How? The lamp's burning. Keep this in the, be exposed to the light and the Spirit of God and be ready to go. But in the meantime, while the Master has not come yet, just be exposed. What are your priorities? Know this, that when He comes, that's it. We can't grow anymore. We grow here. And that's why Satan causes people to... He challenges their decision making. Do I go to hear the word or do I go over and do this? Satan puts that in front of us. And you notice that people are going to bother you, events are going to come up right when it comes time to study the Word of God. That's not an accident. Because Satan is trying to get us to make the decision to stay away from the Word because we think it's a duty. Oh well, I'll go to Wednesday night Bible study next week. You know, the Super Bowl's on or something. You know, you get the thing going. I'll go to church next week. There's no next week. And the more I'm exposed to the ministry of God's Spirit through His Word, the more I'm changed and transformed, which means the more I'll be developed in heaven. My reward will be greater in heaven. My function will be greater in heaven. I don't want the cement slab and the chimney. Now, if that's all I get, I'll be thankful I'm there. But I want the gold, silver, and precious stones. I want the walls. You know, I want not necessarily a condo, but, you know, a mansion in heaven type thing. It's not that I want that for myself. It's just that if I know that I'm leaving this earthly life and I can't take anything with me, look how much time I spend on developing things here on the earth. I'm heading for heaven. It could be before we're through with church today. So my top priority is to use the physical things of this earthly life to sustain me and get me through. That's all it's for. But to spend my time and priority growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, getting me prepared to go be with Him so that when He comes, He will say to me, enter in, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. Now next week, as we finish out this chapter, it's one of my favorite portions of Scripture where Jesus said, I don't think that I came to bring peace upon the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. He came to bring division, not unity. And people don't know that Jesus actually taught that in the Word of God. And we'll be focused on that next week as to exactly what that means and what that means to us today. We're talking about priorities. Our priorities are being challenged every day. Do you make a decision for Christ and His Word or not? One of my favorite texts next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your Word, for Your Spirit. So faithfully ministers to our hearts and touches us and manifests to us those things that You would have us to know as You have taught. We thank You for that. We pray that You make the changes, make the transformation process happen in us according to Your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.